We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. And before I forget, taking care of business, our previous segment with Ask Ross, our winner of the KSN polo shirt is Ben from Tarpon Springs, Florida. Ben will be getting a hold of you, get some information from you on a mailing address and your shirt size, and a KSN polo will be on its way. I'm Jim Galante. I am with Bob Flounders and Andy Shea, and we're going to continue our series looking at the redshirt freshmen. It always seems like these are the guys who are overlooked and forgotten, and we've got a particularly good series of players. We've been going sort of by position, of course, with odd numbers. We're going to go with one offensive lineman today and then the two quarterbacks, so that should be really interesting. Let's start with our redshirt lineman, which is Caden Wallace. He's a four-star out of Princeton, New Jersey. He checks in at 6'5", 337 pounds. And I'm going to start with you, Bob, and I thought was also interesting. I went back and looked it up. He was 288 pounds, apparently, coming out of high school, and he now checks in at 337, and he seems to be working his way up the depth chart, Bob.
Yeah, he was actually a pretty big player last year. I remember the freshman weights, and I don't think Caden was anywhere near 288 by the time the fall rolled around. He's just a big guy, big frame, highly sought after recruit from New Jersey. Penn State hasn't had a great track record recently with New Jersey wideouts, but that's not necessarily the case maybe with some other positions. I just remember, and I just remember a lot of people thought, you know, Caden would be probably a guard, or at least a lot of sites had him as a guard when he's being recruited. But at 6'5", 337 pounds, I mean, that's a pretty big guard. They can play guard at 6'5", but maybe not at 330, maybe not at 337. I think he's going to kick outside and maybe help as a tackle. Penn State right now looks pretty good at offensive tackle with Rasheed Walker and Will Fries, but that could change in a hurry. Des Holmes is another player who would have another year of eligibility left in 2021, 2 years from now. But I mean, things can change in a hurry. Will Fries is going to move on. You don't know how long Rasheed is going to be, at Penn State if he continues to develop. But Caden Wallace, you know, maybe short term, he looks like Penn State's fourth offensive tackle. But in 2 years, I think he could push to start definitely. And if not, he could be a swing tackle. Penn State seems to trust their swing tackles. At least they trusted Des Holmes last year. There's nothing wrong with being a quality third tackle. I think Caden Wallace is one of Penn State's most talented redshirt freshmen. That goes without saying, given how many quality schools pursued him. I don't know this year what his role will be unless somebody gets hurt, but I think last year they liked him enough that I think this year they're going to feel good about playing them if they have to. And in two years, I think he's going to make a really strong push to play meaningful snaps on the Penn State offensive line.
Yeah, when it comes to Caden, okay, if I jump in here, Jim.
Yep, go right ahead.
Yeah, so he's a top 100 recruit coming out when he was out of his class. And there was some buzz around him at the beginning of last year. Do I remember that correctly, Bob?
Yeah.
Like there was some buzz around him, like he was – one of those kids that might have been a yellow/green light. Maybe was he going to redshirt? Was he going to play?
Yeah,
that says a little bit of something right there. They ended up redshirting him and holding him back. I think that has to do with Des Holmes' development,
yeah,
and being able to be a swing tackle. When they come back this season, it is he a right tackle behind Will Fries, and is he going to get some of those extra snaps, or are they going to go with three tackles and used as Holmes as a swing, right? Is he going to play both ways? And that's Caden Wallace's next step, is to cement himself as a backup who starts to get some snaps here and there, and barring an injury, that's his role. Or if there is an injury, do they go to the swing tackle, or has he developed enough to be that pure right backup? That's just it for him. And you're right. In 2 years, he's a starter. unless somebody comes in and does something stupid crazy. He's good enough to be a starter. He might be even be borderline development-wise if you play it out that he could, but it would be better if he's a starter in 2 years. I like him. I think he's going to be really good.
Jimmy, just real quick, I think this position specifically at Penn State, they've really taken their time developing some good offensive linemen. They didn't play Michael Mennett till the third year, and not having a spring, I think, really hurts in terms of the redshirt freshman. It might hurt Caden Wallace the most. He's got a new position coach. He's learning a new offense. And these guys take time under the best of circumstances. When they do resume football, I think there's going to be a lot of emphasis on getting the frontline guys ready to go and in shape. I don't know how long they can actually kind of be patient with some of the backups, no matter how much they like them. I think just because of these difficult times, I think it might be even more. Had it been a typical year, I think it would have been a little bit easier for Caden Wallace to maybe do some developing in the spring and maybe early in August. I think what's going on now, though, really maybe hurts him maybe as much as any other redshirt.
Well, you know, I think it speaks well of him just the fact that at that position of tackle, that as a redshirt freshman, he's already listed number two on the depth chart. But so it sounds like what we're talking about as far as him seeing the field right now, it may be the question of, is Dez Holmes, who is listed as the number two at left tackle, is it really Dez Holmes is the swing guy? He's the third tackle no matter what, whether it's left tackle or right tackle, and Caden Wallace is number four, or is Caden truly number two to Will Fries at the right tackle position? Essentially, that's what it comes down to, right, guys?
Yeah, I think that he's definitely, I think there's a pretty big, I would say that even as talented physically as Caden is, he just doesn't have the knowledge and the playing experience that Dez does. I think they're looking at Dez Holmes as a definite starter 2 years from now. So I think the difference between number three and number four on the tackle depth chart, and Dez has played both sides. He's played left and right tackle. I think Caden's got a little bit of work to do to maybe catch Dez really on the depth chart. He's on the right side. But I think the fact that Dez is versatile, I think it's he's the clear number three, and he's going to play over Caden.
All right, let's move on to our last two on our list, which are the two quarterbacks. And I want to group these together because they came in the same class. They're going to be tied together forever. And they are Taquan Roberson, 5'11", 194. He's a four-star out of New Jersey. And Michael Johnson Jr., 6'2", 200, four-star out of Oregon. They both came in together as quarterback prospects. And I'll start with you, Andy. The depth chart listed Roberson ahead of Michael Johnson Jr. Are you reading anything at all into that, and how do you see that competition shaping up between the two?
So I'm not reading anything into it, to be honest with you, because they gave you the little caveat. They didn't list the wars because there would be so many. So, and it's the quarterback position. We're always looking for nuggets, right? You're always like, which one of these is better? Who's developing more? Which one of them would play first over the other one? And I don't think we've had any real signs to indicate one or the other. There's still one of them is the third string quarterback. I think if you think we just talked about Caden Wallace missing out in the spring, you know, one and two quarterbacks are set. Three and four are going to do a lot in the spring, even with a new offensive coordinator. They've got to learn too, and I think they lost a lot. But when it comes to these two, you're right, Jim. They're grouped together. They're still grouped together in my mind. I don't see one ahead of the other right now, and I don't think both of them finish at Penn State either when all is said and done, with the quarterback room being as full as it is. But I'm a big Johnson fan in terms of his ceiling. I kind of feel at Penn State that Roberson has fit into the box better, if you want to put it that way, in terms of what they're looking for in terms of development. But in terms of a ceiling and potential, Johnson's always been the one that stood out.
And Bob, as the layperson, the fan here, I've always had the impression that Taquan Roberson has the higher floor and Michael Johnson has the higher ceiling. That's the perception we as fans have gotten. Is that an accurate take on the two?
Yeah, I would agree with that, Jim. I think that Michael Johnson is a really they're both very good athletes. They're dual threats who can impact the game in a lot of different ways. Roberson's a kid from New Jersey. Penn State was able to convince a kid from Oregon, Michael Johnson, to come across the country. Johnson's a little bit bigger. I don't know if there's an appreciable amount of difference in foot speed, but I just remember a couple of years ago seeing Johnson on the practice field during the Under Armour workouts before Penn State's Citrus Bowl game against Kentucky. And you could tell he would flash some things that I don't think a lot of quarterbacks that young could do. I did get the feeling at the end of last year, even though James was asked about it a couple of times, he didn't say there was any clear separation, but I sensed, and in games, Roberson was the guy that they turned to first. Again, that could just be more of an indication that, you know, how raw Michael Johnson was at times last year. To Andy's point, you know, Micah Bones is coming in, and I know that our Ross Tucker really likes him as well. There's not room for really five scholarship quarterbacks probably on any football team unless there's a rash of injuries. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why Penn State's been hesitant to name a clear number three in this battle. I think they like them both. I think they realize that Michael Johnson long-term might be a little bit better than Taquan, but in the short term, Jimmy, if they had to play one in a game, who would be more comfortable running the offense and who is maybe more efficient at this time? It probably would be Taquan. So the question becomes, how is Franklin and Kirk Shiraka going to handle this for the next year? Because once you name a number three with a talented kid like Micah coming in, the loser's going to get dejected. So it's definitely a balance. I'm sure they're actually dealing with that with Will Levis behind Sean Clifford. You know, he'll play, but only if Sean gets hurt. They only like to play one guy. They're not a two quarterback offense. So interesting. I would like to see where Michael Johnson is at Penn State 2 years from now. Now, I just don't know if that's going to happen, because in the meantime, they're probably going to have to name a number three. But I'm with you. I do think if Michael Johnson figures it all out and both quarterbacks develop and play their A game down the road, I think Michael's might be a little bit better than Taquan's.
All right. And that, it's just the quarterback position, the nature of it. When you take two in one class, there's a very good chance one will not be there for the full year. All right. That's it for this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Andy. And to our listeners, be sure to join us next time.
So what's so different about new Labatt Blue Citra? Could be the bright hop aroma or the crisp, clean finish that all come together for a new kind of refreshing. Brewed with Citra and Mosaic hops, all new Labatt Blue Citra delivers ultimate drinkability and a new way to get up and get out. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Everyone knows AAA gives you peace of mind when you're out on the road. But did you know you get other perks as well? Besides providing reliable roadside service for over 100 years, AAA also provides great discounts on entertainment, prescriptions, rental cars, hotels, insurance, and so much more. Take advantage of everything AAA has to offer. Purchase, renew, or upgrade your membership today at AAA.com.
This is Jim Galante with the Keystone Sports Network. We know there are a lot more important things going on than whether there are any sports. But we'd like to give you a little break from everything else happening in our world with some Penn State football talk. College football will come back. In the meantime, we hope you enjoy the Keystone Kickoff Show. Find all our shows at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the app Keystone Sports. Stay safe, and thanks for listening.